Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It's time for us to get started, so we'll get started. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll proceed to our discussion this morning. Oh, Lord, we come before you this morning. We give you thanks that you have blessed us to see yet another day. You've given us health and strength, allowed us to be able to come out to study a portion of your word. We thank you, Lord, for your many blessings that you bestow on us each and every day. We ask, Lord, that you would be with us as we go into this period of study. Be with those that couldn't be with us at this time this morning, but had a desire to. And we ask, Lord, that you would help us to use what we get out of this discussion to help us in our everyday walk. In our everyday lives to spread your word to those who don't know you. We pray, Lord, that you will forgive us of our sins. And we ask it all in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen.
Amen.
Last time I had the opportunity to be before you, and I told you we were going to have a discussion. On y'all's comments, it went over so well, I tried to do it again. But again, we're going to have a discussion. And what I used for a topic last time, I guess after looking over it, it didn't quite go well with what we talked about. It did, in a sense, and then I didn't want to throw people off by what I used for a topic, which was Christian living in today's world. But I think I may have misled some people. We discussed one of the things of how we would be living, what we deal with in living in today's world. And I think my topic should have been Christians dealing with living in today's world. Would have been better appropriate. And I tried to start off with painting a picture of nice, relaxing, enjoyable scenes or moments that you could picture in your mind. Of course, none of us knows what paradise looks like, but I tried to make a picture that you could see four different times of the year that you would think it was a relaxing time and an enjoyable time, times that we would say that we would sit back and smell the roses, so to speak, and enjoy the pleasures of life, which we could equate with paradise, but being that we've never been to paradise, we really don't know what it would be like. But still, I wanted to show a good time as opposed to the times that we experience in the world today, where there's so much hustle and bustle and so much stuff going on, stress and everything else, that you really don't get a chance to enjoy the little things or smell the roses, so to speak. But I said I'll let you hopefully paint a better picture of what I was trying to bring out. And I thought we had a pretty good discussion. We talked about anxiety and how anxiety, we all experience it. And anxiety can be good if you're experiencing it during the time when you have, in a contest or you have a raffle ticket and you're waiting for the drawing to be called and you've got three or four to six numbers and you feel that excitement building in you, and that's a good thing even though you may not win, but that's fine. But when you have anxiety about what goes on every day in your life and where you're going to get money to pay this bill or what you're going to eat, and you don't have appropriate clothes to wear for certain events you might want to attend, and you're constantly worrying about it, that is not a good thing. So we try to steer away from that type of anxiety. And we learn that, you know, God provides for all the creatures that were created. So we don't have to worry about what we're going to need to survive because God's going to provide that for us. So saying all that, kind of give a little recap of what we discussed the last time. And like last time, feel free to make comments anytime. because, as I said, it's just a discussion. But today, one other topic that I wanted to bring up is the topic of anger, dealing with anger. That's one of the things that we can't seem to get around either, as you live in today's world. Certain things will make you angry. I read in one of the, I don't know what you call it, references that I was looking through to try to get information for this lesson, an experience of a lady driving a car, a nice Volvo. She was driving around in the parking lot and trying to find a parking space, probably someplace like Walmart, you know, it's always crowded. And she found a space and she was getting ready to back into it, and then this little young guy with one of these little sports cars gripped right into the space and jumped out and tried to walk on off, and she told him, "I've been waiting a long time to try to get into this parking space, and you just jumped right in and just took it." She said, "Why you do that?" He said, "Well, I guess it's because I'm younger and I'm quicker." So he went to walk off, and he could hear this crashing sound, and he turned around, and she was ramming her car into his. And she rolled the window down and told him, said, "That's because I'm older and I'm richer." So we do experience anger from time to time, but we don't want to experience it like that, you know. But anger is an emotion, and it's unwanted, and it's irritable, and it's an annoyance of displeasure and hostility. And even though we don't want to experience it, God is still giving us that emotion, and we have to deal with it. And what we want to try to figure out or discuss today is, how do we deal with anger and try to deal with it in a way that would be pleasing to God and would not put us in a bad situation. And the Bible, if you want to, oh yes, go ahead.
No, the Bible does teach us that nothing wrong with getting angry over the
shit. Mm-hmm.
Anger says not.
And that's hard to do sometimes.
That is, you know.
It's something you got to work at.
Constantly.
He was very yep. Well, one of the scriptures that I found was in Proverbs chapter 12 and verse number 16, and it says, "A fool's wrath is known at once, but a prudent man covers shame." Now, the thing that I see or come to realize about what the Bible says about anger, it associates anger as a lack of wisdom. And it also says that it's closely associated with being with fools, because you don't have wisdom, so you do foolish things. And we have to try to seek to get wisdom the best way that we can, and that will help us to deal with a lot of things. Now, I know one of the books of the Bible in Proverbs gives us a lot of insight on wisdom, how we can get wisdom. A fool's wrath, by his rash words and indecent actions, exposes himself to shame. The way that he acts, the way that he does things he doesn't think. One of the quickest things, but one of the most important things we have to think about when we have become angry is to first take time out. Some people say, count to 10.
Picture that.
Yeah, some things get you so angry you might have to count to 5. You know. But the point is to not react before you think. You know, and that's what we have to do, is to don't let your emotions control you to the point where it takes over. So we have to take a time to step back. And a lot of times, the simplest thing you could do, I think, is just to step back and say, two words, Lord help. You know, you might don't have time to sin no more than that. But you're calling on the Lord and you're asking him to help you because this situation is about to get out of control. And because of our physical nature, our reaction is to retaliate. And if nothing else, you're going to say something that you might regret later. And we don't want to do that. And plus the fact, we have to set an example as Christians. And a lot of times, you'll find that people, especially that they know that you're trying to live a godly life, which along with what the devil is doing, because you can't forget he's after us 24/7. He's going to put people in your path that will make you angry just so they can say something like, oh, you're supposed to be a Christian. You know better than I am. You do this and you do that, which just adds fuel to the fire. So if we can just take a moment to try to just get a handle on things, get a grip on things, it would help us to deal with anger. The first thing to try to think of doing is to take the time to just think before you react, which, like you said, sometimes it's easier said than done. Not impossible, but it takes some work in it. Another verse is Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 22, and it reads, let's see it here. I wrote the wrong one. It's Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 17. Okay. A quick-tempered man acts foolishly, and a man of wicked intention is hated. His passion, a quick-tempered person, their passion hurries them into making rash and foolish speeches and actions. And therefore, they don't take the time to think, and they don't take the time to realize what is really happening. If you only take that moment, sometimes it will save a lot of hurtful feelings. The man of wicked intentions, that's a person that has designs and meditates on revenge. He watches and waits for the fittest opportunities. Sort of the same thing as what the devil does. And we can see that is not good. The Bible doesn't like that. I mean, God doesn't like that. And most people that are of good intention don't like that either. That's why it says that a man of wicked intentions is hated. Because you think of a person that meditates and waits for a time to get back revenge, that's not a good person to be around. I mean, you have to constantly be on your guard because you don't never know when this person is going to take advantage of you or just get back at something that they think that you might have done or something that they're upset about, whether you know it or not. Yes.
It's where we direct our anger. You know, our anger should be against Satan. Mm-hmm. And the only way to fight him is with God on our side.
Mm-hmm.
But anytime we direct our anger to God's creation, it does not work out well.
That's
it
true.
It never works out well. That's easier said than done.
Yes, it is.
But we're supposed to be angry.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the things that upsets us the most, especially when someone that we know is a brother or a sister gets us upset, is because we expect them to do better. We expect more from them than we do from a person that we know is not in the Lord's body, you know. And because we expect more from them, we take it out on them instead of realizing that the devil is using them. And Another thing too, we know that the Lord is always with us, protecting us, making a way for us, and giving us everything we need. But we seldom think about it, even though we know it, but we seldom think about it. The devil is constantly at us, as you say in those 24/7 too. You know, when we say it, that ain't nothing but the devil. But it's just like saying good morning. You don't think about it, you know, and you don't realize, hey, there's the devil, you know. So it's not this person that's making me mad, but it's the devil. So we have to show love to this person and still come back to the devil at the same time, which, like you said, is not easy to do. So remember, we're constantly in a warfare, in a war zone, dealing with the devil, and he's not going to get at you with somebody that you know is not close to you. He's going to get at you with somebody that you know that's close to you. Because how else can he get close enough to you? You know, it has to be somebody that you're going to meet every day, somebody that's in your family, somebody that's a close friend, anybody else. You're not going to allow them to get that close enough to you where you can be hurt easy. But people like that, that's what the devil uses. So we have to keep that in mind at all times.
Yeah.
We're not careful. Anger can turn your head. And hatred is something that God is not tolerant. He wants to have some Christians to have a God that has to do it all times. It's our problem. Because we have to be able to be in certain kind of control with our emotions.
Wesley, the whole book of Proverbs is a progressive book, and the very beginning of it tells you it goes into detail and tells you how valuable it is to get away with wisdom, you know. And then it tells you, then it goes into telling you how to get wisdom. And then that progresses on to tell you when you've got wisdom, and you mention about you getting angry at your friends. It emphasizes over and over to choose your friends wisely.
Amen.
To choose your friends wisely. Amen. And that choice that you make there with wisdom will determine a good part of the rest of your life. You know, how you're going to be reacting to them and how they're going to affect you and how you might have effect on them. And if you tie yourself up or associate yourself with boisterous in talk, in attitude, in language, people, you're going to get yourself in trouble. I mean, they're going to get you in trouble. So you want to be wise in how you choose your friends. And once you do that, then once you've got good friends, good wise friends that will support you, then you've got support throughout the rest of your life. And I can't emphasize, I'm trying to, all the youth I talk to is, can you overemphasize, you choose your friend. At that age, at a teenager's age, where they have influence, so much influence on one another, choose your friends wisely.
Yeah. Real point. One of my scriptures that I want to bring up, I'm going to touch on that too. It's hard to sometimes make that right choice, mm-hmm. because at a moment's any given moment, you think that a person is a friend, but it's only when it comes things become thick, it's when you find out they're not really your friend. You know? And I used to, when I was young, I could never get the right understanding of a saying, a friend in need is a friend indeed. And I couldn't understand that. I was like, why would I need a friend that's in need of something? You know, I was looking at it all backwards. You know, I don't need a friend if you need something. No, I need a friend when I need something. That's what it's saying. That when you have a friend when you're in need, that's when you have a true friend. But I couldn't really get there. Okay, another scripture that I had too that I want to bring out was also in Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 29. He who is slow to wrath has great understanding, but he who is impulsive exalts folly. Being slow to anger shows a person, a very wise person. The Bible makes it as being a great man or woman. That if you're slow to anger, it's very good because you don't just fly off the hammer real quick and you take time to think about things and you evaluate the situation. I read once too where it said that it's better to be thought a fool by being quiet than to open your mouth and remove all that. So, if you can be quiet, and people may think you're foolish, but they still don't know. Watch your mouth. There's no doubt.
Another proverb tells you, it says, even a fool is deemed wise until he opens his mouth. Then you remove all that.
We have to take that also into consideration. And that verse that you were referring to, I had in verse chapter 22, Proverbs chapter 22, verse 24. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man do not go, lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your soul. And as you was pointing out, there's nothing more important, there's nothing more necessary than a friend. The principal point of wisdom consists in the choice of him or her. So it takes much wisdom to decide who you want to have as a friend and who you don't want to have as a friend. Because it will come into play in your lifetime as long as you're friends with that person. The control of anger depends on the gaining of wisdom, which is an accumulation of understanding of the human nature, and the steps that God has provided for the control of our sinful nature. We have all been born with the same sinful flesh nature, and therefore we must each as individuals overcome this bad natural trend for ourselves. Fortunately, we are not without divine help, which God has made provision to provide help for us, as we know he'll always make an escape when we get ourselves in bad situations if we look for it. But when we don't look for it, and when we just get in a situation and not thinking about it, we'll find ourselves deeper and getting deeper into that bad situation. We know that we have help that's provided for us. If we look at Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 13, which also reads, nevertheless, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, which that lets us know that God is our help, Christ is our help. So we can't do anything anyway on our own, even though we think we can. You know, like, what did you do there? Oh, first thing I got up, you couldn't got up, and said, God allowed you to get up.
make mention that at this point, which I'm good to address as much as anybody else. As we go through life sometimes, because God is so good to us and provides so much for us, we unthinkably take advantage of it. You know, we just take it for granted. Okay? He's going to allow us to do this. He's going to allow us to do that. We're going to have this. We're going to have that. And a lot of times we don't give thanks for this simple little thing that he gives us. You know, if we take time sometimes just to realize, just think, for 1 hour, how many blessings does God bestow on you? You can't even name them all for that 1 hour, or even for 5 minutes. The first thing, just think about, you have the ability to think. Then you're breathing. Then you're in a safe place. I mean, that's just to start off with a few. But wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, whether you're eating, you have clothes on, and you look around and you see other people that are less fortunate than you are, it helps you to realize just how blessed you are. Amen. But we have to always remember that God is there, and he's waiting and willing to help us. All we have to do is just go to him.
And when we remember, I mean, how many times has somebody come at you to get you angry and you handle the situation right? Mm-hmm. Wow. That's right.
Yeah.
And then Satan, he comes at you another way, and it's just the perfect time, and you haven't eaten, you're a little tired, things aren't going exactly right, then somebody acting foolish has to come along, and you lose it. You feel like,
yeah.
The highs are because you forgot.
You were looking for this way, you got blindsided.
You got it, but you forgot.
It happens.
And it stings and it humbles you. We know we're not supposed to lose it. Mm-hmm. We do. The Holy Spirit convicts us of it. We feel terrible, as we should. Yeah. That's how we're wrong. That's why we got to learn his tactics. It's not a lesson to learn.
No.
Be humble and
fool. But you just said the important thing is because we're not perfect, we learn. If we do learn, sometimes we don't. You know, so we'll experience that again. Might not be the exact same way, but we'll experience it again. But you're right, that's what we have to look forward to. One of the main things about that is it's not so much a it is what we do, but we don't know how many people are watching us, you know, and getting a lesson from seeing us and how we handle that. You know, someone we're not even aware of, but now you're paying attention to, whether it be your child, your nephew, your family relation somewhere, you know, and in the chain, you know, sister or brother, or somebody related to you. Or just somebody that just watching you from a distance, you know, and the influence that you would have on them. And they may come to you later and say, how did you do that? I could have never did that, you know. Then you might know, but a lot of times that won't happen, but still, you still have that effect on the person. So you have your hand in
time. We know that the good Lord will humble us when we least expect it. Mm-hmm. When I was a kid, I had a bicycle, and I got a brand new speedometer. Now, those speedometers back in the day had a cable that went to the front of the wheel. If you rolled, it would tell you how fast you're going. Mm-hmm. So I had this bright idea to ask my grandmother, let me hang on to the car while I'm holding my bicycle and roll down the window so we can compare to make sure my speedometer is working right. And Grandma said yes. So and we're in El Paso, Texas, and we're in a kind of busy road, and so I'm hanging on to the passenger door. Mm-hmm. She's driving nice and slow in the station wagon. I said, 10 miles an hour, Grandma. She said, 10 miles an hour. Go faster. I said, 20 miles an hour. She said, 20 miles an hour. Go faster. And so now we're at 30, and I'm hanging on, and then 30. She says 30, and right about then, the stoplight turns red.
I knew that was a stop sign or stoplight, yep.
Grandma had to stop. I'm flung through the intersection. And now I'm really going fast. I don't know how fast. I'm not paying attention to it all anymore. I'm looking at what's going on. And then I turn far left behind me, holding on to the handlebar to see where Grandma is, make sure she was okay. Mm-hmm. And while I'm doing that, next thing I know, the bike is raising up by itself. I turn around real fast, and I just, there was a curve. I drifted into the curve, and I was, thank God, it was sloping up. Mm-hmm. I'm sloping up, and I see the bus park bench. I go, and I missed it. Mm-hmm. And right then, my folly was, look who's back. I turn around, and then, wham! I'm on the ground, because I didn't see the sign, no parking sign. So there's a life lesson, and when you think you're something, God will humble you. And so that was a life lesson right there. It said, okay, it could have been a whole lot worse.
If you had remained silent and not asked her to do that.
I mean, it's just how that happened. And, oh, yeah, look at me. There you go.
Yeah. Those nice lessons come back from time to pass, and definitely will stick with you when you, most of the times when you kind of do something to kind of show off a little bit, you know. Sometimes it's doing it, not intentionally showing off, but you know, once you kick your eyes off of what's going on, it's when it happens. You know, thankfully, you made it through.
And that was the no helmet years too.
That's right. That's right. I mean, God was graceful that all that. That Grandma was okay. That when I went through the intersection, there was no other cars coming, and that the curve was sloped, and all that. And then He humbled me. And then there was the lady on the park bench saw that you're okay.
Doesn't that hurt you more than anything else? Wait.
know what? Harvard Med is bad for your health anyway.
Of course you're very bad for them. You let them control you.
That's right. You have their freedom in.
Yep.
Well, that's what I found out, and I think most of us have in here with some age on us, is we don't have the impulses to open our mouth and get ourselves in trouble that we did when we were younger. You know, we have to learn our lesson of getting whipped or whatever the consequences we face because of that. So now I find myself in a position that when something happens and it irritates me, is that I immediately ask God to forgive me for my thoughts that I had of retaliation, you know, my thoughts of ill feeling that I had toward them. And some consolation in that, that keeps me fortified. And if you're driving down the road, particularly, and I'm going to tell you, if you're in Florida where all the old people are, and that's what I call it, they don't drive down there, they ain't. You know, they don't look either way. And they cut in front of you or cut you off, whatever. And of course, you get these thoughts, you know, what they're doing that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I realize that next year I might be right where they are.
Yeah.
You know, 2 years from now I might be right where they are. So I just ask the Lord to forgive me for my thoughts for that time.
Or you might be right there now, Jerry.
I might be right there. I'm probably the one who calls them now.
You are.
I think we all come to the realization that we are responsible for what we hear.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not sure what you heard, get some clarification before you get all riled up or nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And also understand that if it's somebody you're not familiar with, that their upbringing or their understanding of a certain word has a different meaning than what you think it means, and you're thinking they're being disrespectful, but it's anyway, that we're responsible for what we're listening to. And get some clarification if needed. And that's all right. Especially now that some of us are older, it's okay to say, what did you say? Because our hearing is not as good as it used to be.
And there's something liberating getting older, because I just got to the point where I don't care. I don't.
I mean, just turn around and walk off the leave it there.
Okay, but we're fine.
Yeah, I didn't take my medication. You better give me some space.
All that is taking the time. Instead of retaliating,
right.
Taking the time.
I'm lazy. I'll be honest with you. Some of that started up with the theater, and I said, I went through junior high and high school, and I've already done this, and I'm too old for it. So y'all just do what you want to do. I'm not going to mess with it.
So, in concluding, so how do we deal with anger? First thing, we don't hold it in. And we don't feed it. We look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. I have that, be angry and do not sin. We said it earlier. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Anger should not be allowed to fester or continue for long. Christians may respond to control anger and to injustice and sin, but they should never be consumed by this anger. Instead, they should seek opportunities to express Christ's love to everyone. In other words, get angry, but get over it, and do not give the devil a foothold. And number two, don't retaliate. We can find a verse on that in James chapter 1, verse 19 and 20, well, 19 through 20. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. When someone wrongs us, the natural reaction is to retaliate, at least verbally. But this response does not glorify God. Holding one's tongue, trying to understand the other person's position, and leaving vindication to God demonstrates God's love in tense situations. So that would help us out a whole lot.
if we just take that moment, if you can't think of nothing to say, or you just want to retire, just take that moment and say, Lord, help me. And he will rescue. Yes.
And always the thought in my mind is, no matter the situation, no matter what that person can do to me, God will deal with them in a better way than I ever could.
Mm-hmm.
Plain and simple. Just remember that. God will handle that situation better than you ever would be able to.
And also, this dealing with anger is not going to be an easy task. You know, we already knew when you accepted Christ, it wasn't going to be an easy task. But to accept Christ and to walk in his way, what we said we were going to do, this is one of the things you have to do in order to do that.
Actually, in that challenge, what you're doing, you're robbing God of a promise he's made. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. It's not ours. Vengeance is his. He'll take care of the evil in the world.
Yes, he will. And that's fine.
For most times, people want the justice right then.
Yes. They want to have God out.
And find your outlet. Maybe you need to redirect your actions or something to do something that helps you calm down or something. It's because it's okay. Yes. To be, that's a natural response.
We're beings in the moment.
Yeah, we're teaching Lily right now, it's okay to be angry. It's just not okay to hit or act out. So if she starts having a temper tantrum, we say, go to your room, and when you're done, come out. And a little later on, you're I'm done now. I'm ready to say I'm sorry. Okay, that's fine. You still may not get your way, but at least, so then she's got to get that out of your system.
That's a good idea. Some people like to go to the gym and
put
out on a punching bag, or they'll go out and somewhere and they can just scream real loud.
Yeah. And it doesn't even have to be anything like that. It's just redirect your thoughts. Maybe you want to sit down and do something positive or whatever, or talk to somebody.
You have to don't let it fester. That's the thing. Because the more you think about it, the more it's going to fester you. But
I've got a brother that works. I work around some jobs with. He's my Johnson. He sends me text messages every day. And I need him. God knows I need him. He was on the streets. He was a drug dealer. He was in the hood. And so we're working on a job. And it's summertime, college boys come out there. Guy innocently knocked over 2x4, smacked him right in the head, and he jumped up and didn't say anything. And he came up to me. He said, Chuck, he said, you know, where I come from, you know, you don't think. You just react. I said, that boy a couple of years ago, I would put him in the hospital. God changed him. That I witnessed that, and he was, I know he was speaking the truth, and I saw that. And, God can change anybody.
Yes, we got to work toward it, though.
Yeah, sure.
You're not gonna just do it for us overnight. We got to work toward it.